and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 142. Oh, as it will be forever known, iMac Day. How are we all doing? I can see you in the chat. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Hello, Deb, CQCQ, and hello, Stuart. No Mike with us tonight. Not yet. He'll be with us in about 30 minutes when he's finished excelling. What's he doing tonight? Let's have a check. I think it was dashboards. But could have been anything. Creating an Excel dashboard. There you go. And he's finishing at 7:30. Excellent. So he'll be with us by then. By which time I could have spent an obscene amount of money. Who has seen the new iMac? Let me know in the chat. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? Simon doesn't need an iMac, do you, Simon? You've got a Hackintosh, which, to be honest, I would much rather have. The new iMac? Pretty much the same as the old one. Have I bought one? Not yet, Jonathan, but there's a funny story with that. Mike heads off with the dog. Weather's not brilliant. Well, the weather's fabulous. I'm loving it raining. But I said you need to get the dog out before it rains, and he did. So he heads off with Lola. At which point I discover that there is a new iMac out, and I go deep into the need to look at the new iMac. Need to do what must be done. Now, if you're a long time Mac biter, you will know exactly what that is. You need to go to the Apple site and you need to spec up said iMac, and then your eyes will bleed at the price. So I'm deep in the middle of doing that, and I'm also in Slack. And before I know it, I hear the door and Mike's coming back in, and I thought, that didn't seem long. But then I thought, well, you know, once you start specking an iMac up, you could be a while. So he dashes up the stairs. Having seen me posting on Slack and Neil posting on Slack, new iMac, and said, well, I curtailed Lola's walk to get back so we could sort it out. And I went, Mike, you can't do that. But he did. Anyway, short version of that, Jonathan, not yet. But there is a reason. There is a reason. Oh, Simon's always liked iMacs. It does look identical to the old one. So all that we had, how many months? About 5-6 months. There'll be a newly designed iMac. It'll be at WWDC. It was a pack of lies. It looks exactly the same as the old one. Obviously, they've added stuff to it. Some stuff weirder than other stuff, just saying. The rationale of the iMacs. Right, both Mike and I have a 2017 iMac. They were bought as twins, although mine arrived a day early. They were bought on exactly the same second, the night of the general election in 2017. 10 o'clock came round. There had been a new iMac announced probably about a week or two before, which would have been at WWDC 2017. And we were like, do we or don't we? Do we or don't we? And the country was in a mess at the time, not that it isn't now. So election day came round. It got to 10 o'clock. And I said to Mike, I think it's too close to call. So the news came on and they had the exit polls. Hung Parliament, I think, was it? Basically, no overall majority. And it was just like a more chaos. So we looked at each other and thought, if things get even more unstable, Apple will put the prices up again. So by 10:05, we'd ordered £13,000 worth of iMac. Yes. So they're the ones that we're actually using right now. So they are identical. Mid 2017, 27 inch. We bought it with... I've no idea what the processor is. I'm long past caring what the processor is. But we bought it with the minimum RAM because we were going to buy our own. Maxed out the graphics card. Went for a 1 terabyte SSD. And I think the rest was fairly standard. Fairly standard. You made good money. I think you were the only one, Jonathan. Not enough for an iMac today, though. Would you, though, Jonathan? Because I always think of you as a laptop person. Mobile. Take it with you. I deliberately spec down the laptop that I have because I've got more iPads than is probably safe. And I have a MacBook Air, so I don't particularly need the power of a MacBook Pro. I'd rather have that power on the desktop, you know, being in lockdown and all of that. But I'm happier here anyway. Stuart, it doesn't take much for you to say yes to an iMac. Not really, Stuart. No. You see, even Jonathan's tempted with the iMacs now. But that was the iMac that we had. Now, you're wondering why I only had 8 gig put in it. The 21-inch iMac, you can't upgrade anything other than the plug, probably, after you've bought it. But the 27-inch iMac, you can put your own RAM in it. So it doesn't make sense to pay Apple prices. Now, just to give you an indication, I'll tell you what we paid for the RAM. So bear in mind, it was 2017. We were maxing the RAM out at 64 gig. So it came with 8, but you can't use the 8 because there's only 4 slots. So to get 64, you've got to put 4 16s in it. So the 8 that you've got from Apple, absolutely useless. So we got it with the 8, but then we were looking to up the RAM to 64, but not via Apple. So the place we normally buy it from was Crucial RAM, and they were out of stock. We checked everywhere. This RAM was rarer than hen's teeth. But by this stage, of course, we'd actually ordered the iMac. So failure was not an option. It was me that told you that, I'm sure, Paul, because I've had that so many times. Some people, if it's got 8 in it, it'll have 2 4s in because they need to be put in pairs. Possibly it might have 1 8, but I don't think so. It's paired RAM, so everything needs to be divided by 2, which is where it gets expensive. I have an entire drawer of RAM, Paul. When the replacement stuff arrives in little plastic packets, I actually write on it the computer it came from and the date it was installed, and then it goes in this drawer. I must do a video of this drawer. You can't move for RAM in this drawer. Some people are tempted to sell it, and I know people who've done that. But the problem then is if you do send it back for an AppleCare repair, they want the original RAM in it. And in my case, twice, it's gone back for repair. And it wasn't irreplaceable at the point it went back. You know, they could have fixed it, but they made such a mess of it that I ended up with 2 new iMacs. So obviously I would have wanted my RAM out of it and put the original RAM back in it. So that was what I ended up doing. So before it goes back, I changed the RAM back. But it comes in pairs and we couldn't buy any, and we were thinking, oh dear, we've got a 10-day wait for the 2 iMacs, but when they arrive, we don't really want to use them with 8 gig of RAM in them. So by the Friday, I think Election Day, when was Election Day? Was it Thursday? Can't remember. It was either a Tuesday or a Thursday. Friday night, about 5 to midnight, something ridiculous like that, I found somewhere that had this RAM. So I dived onto the site and I said, Mike, I've got the RAM. So we needed 8 16 gig SIMs, which set us back the princely sum of about £990. So call it 1,000. So I put the order in for this thing. I'm looking at the site thinking, do you trust this site? Because nowhere else has got it. Never bought from them before. You know, anything could happen. So I thought, it's on the credit card. It's more than £100. Just do it. So I pressed the button 5 to midnight to buy this RAM. Unbelievably, it arrived the next morning, like 10:30. It didn't even take 12 hours. So for a week, I'm sat there with the RAM waiting for the iMac. So it was £500 each to put the extra RAM in it. But we took it up to 64, and that was the limit on it, etc. So that was what we did with that one. But when we're looking at this one now, the biggest issue is we know that there's another one coming out. The question is, when? How long will it be? Apple never seemed to be in a rush with the iMacs, to be honest. So my best reckoning is I think the next one, which will be Apple Silicon and will have the redesign, will be either October next year or WWDC 2022. So the question for Mike and I with this is, Mike's already said he doesn't need one, doesn't want one, not a problem. I use mine much more than he does. Mine's on 24/7 doing something or other. Trust me. Never stops. And mine's already feeling a little bit creaky and has been for about 3 or 4 months. I always tend to try and replace an iMac after 2.5 years. But there was nothing really to buy at the 2.5 year stage, so I was waiting for this one. So now the decision to be made is either buy this one or wait for the next one. And the next one could be 18 months to 2 years. So it's looking, Jonathan, probable. Probable. But at the moment, I've not pushed the button because I don't know about the RAM. Now, they're saying officially this one supports 128. Yes, I know that. They're saying it's the first one that supports 128, which is a lie. The model that was the latest model yesterday also supported 128, but not officially. But Mr. Memory, which is the company I use for RAM, run their own tests on it, and they managed to get 128 running quite nicely, no problems. So the issue that I've got with this one is I'd be buying it with 8 gig of RAM and then taking it out and putting it in a drawer. And I'd be looking to upgrade to 128, which is what it officially supports. 128 gig of memory will cost me £500. But what if, when these are released, which is Friday, Mr. Memory, the company, will put one on their desk and they will be testing it. What if they find out, like they did last time, that it will take 256 gig of memory? Then the £500 I've spent on 128 is going to be wasted. So I'm not going to buy it at the moment until I see what people are saying about the RAM. When it's got on the test benches of the companies who are making and selling the RAM, they will be able to tell you, if not officially, you know, if you buy the RAM from them and it doesn't work, then they will give it you back because they'll replace it with 128 because they're the company telling you that it can work. So I don't want to order this now, have it arrive, start trying to work with it with 8 gig of memory, like 8 times less than I've got now, and then have to wait. So I want to know first what RAM it will actually support, not what it will officially support, what it will actually support. And at that point, then I'll probably make a decision on it. Obviously, to put, if, and this is the ballpark figure, if 128 gig is £500, you're probably looking around 1,000. There's no discount for quantity, sadly. In fact, it could be more because they're bigger chips. But it would be at least £1,000 extra just to put the RAM in the thing. Now, to put that in context, if you've been to the page on apple.com and you've done the old specking up routine, who has? Let me know in the chat if you have. Let's have a look. My guess would be October next year. Mine would be October because I think, although they said 2 years for the full transition, I'm thinking they'd want to get it out of the way. But the situation that we have to consider at the moment is when, in fact, there's so many considerations that have been rumbling on for 3 years here. But one of the biggest is we do not have a Mac in the house that's got AppleCare. Every one of the Macs is older than 3 years. And at the moment, yes, we could, if something happened, we could take it in for repair to a local Apple authorised repair centre, or Apple if you want, but you know, you wouldn't pick Team Trafford unless you absolutely had to. But the problem is, you know, COVID, you then have to go and get it and then they've touched your Mac and blech. So I'd much rather send it back for repair if it needed a repair, or put it on one side and leave it until it feels safer for a repair. That's what I would rather do. So, the Apple Care is a bit of an issue. We don't have Apple Care. The other issue is, when we bought the two that we bought, we were actually going to buy three. Now, before you think that's an indulgence, there's a reason. We have an office where we have two iMacs, my iMac and Mike's iMac, and we have a studio where we have an iMac. And until we got the iMacs we have now, we did not have a Retina iMac, and it wasn't an issue. We use several different applications that can change the resolution of your screen. So there's ScreenRes X and Resolutionator for a start. And the reason that we would have to change the resolution of our screen is in normal conditions, you just use it as it is and be done. But if you're recording a video, if you recorded a full iMac screen and then scaled it down to 1280, you need a magnifying glass to see anything. So I have to change the resolution of my screen. Some companies that I've done videos for have demanded that the screen be 1280 by 720, which is, I mean, it's not tiny, but it is if you're trying to run Photoshop on it because it doesn't run properly. That was the old version of Photoshop. I don't think the new version of Photoshop will run at all in that resolution. The one I was doing videos of was Pixelmator, and to say it was erratic at that res was an understatement. I'm trying to make selections and you can't see the marching red ants. They just disappear. And then when you look at your recording, there's no mouse pointer on it either because it's just too small. When I do my own recordings, I change the screen resolution to 1600 by 900. And I can scale that down. In fact, I broadcast that to YouTube and you guys see it scale down to 1280 and it works fine. So at that point, not a problem at all. But then times changed and people are demanding 1920. Now, if you've got a Retina display, you can scale it to 1600 by 900 or even the next one up from that, whatever that is. And when you get it in your recording software, and this is the black art bit of doing any kind of screencasting, you've got to manipulate things up and down and etc. and get the best that you can. And with a Retina screen, it actually records double the pixels. So you've got much more wiggle room when it comes to working with the screen recording. So if Mike and I are screen recording, it would be on one of three machines. It would be on his iMac, or my MacBook Air, which I got in November 2018, because that's also Retina. But obviously, at the point that we purchased the iMac, those were the only two Retina screens that we had. So the plan was we would get three. And one of them would go in the studio. And that way, when I needed to do a recording, where I do the voice work, I'd be in the studio and I'd be able to record a Retina screen. Then a fly landed in the ointment. When they announced the new iMacs, which would have been WWDC 2017, they also announced some, at that stage, vaporware, which was the iMac Pro. So we knew it was coming and we knew it was going to be... Night, Jonathan! We knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be a more powerful machine. So it was a case of like, do we now wait and buy three iMac Pros? Do we buy one iMac now and then two iMac Pros? Or do we buy two iMacs now and then one iMac Pro? And it was going to come out quarter four was what they said, which means New Year's Eve, about midnight. So we took the decision we'd buy two iMacs because both of the iMacs we were using were creaking at that stage. And I'm not joking. You think we always have the latest and greatest. Trust me, not always. Once we've... It's a bit like a car that you've run into the ground. Not joking. Mike had a 21-inch iMac that was from... It was either 2011 or 2012. So it would be about 5 to 6 years old at the time. So not that old, but with it being a 21-inch iMac, he couldn't upgrade anything. Couldn't upgrade the RAM, couldn't do a thing with it. And he was, I think it only supported 16 gig of RAM, because I had 32 at the time. So it probably only supported 16 gig of RAM. And he was trying to run VMware Fusion at the time, or Parallels, which is to run Windows. And when you do that, you have to allocate half of your system resources, or basically as much as you can, to the virtual machine. So when he ran Windows, it took like 20 minutes to start up. It was appalling. So we'd already decided that his was far too long in the tooth, and basically whatever they brought out, we would be buying one. Mine was reaching the 3-year mark. And I said, you know, it won't last. Oh, was I right. In the March of that year, so about 3 months before WWDC, we goes downstairs to cook dinner. No good comes of going downstairs to cook dinner. I've always said it. But Mike needed supervising, so I toddled off with him. Lovely dinner. But when we came back, my iMac was dead. It had just died alone. It was very sad. Hard drive had just completely fried. So you can't repair that. It wasn't under Apple Care because it was too old. And I'm not taking the glass off and all the rest of it. I mean, these are so skinny now, you really have to dismantle a whole lot. So I stuck an SSD externally on the back on a USB 3 connection and installed another version of the operating system, and I carried on. And so for 3 to 4 months, I was actually running a computer that had no hard drive. It was hanging off the back. So obviously it was a bit slower, quite a bit slower. But that was what I did because I wasn't buying the old one. Hence, when this new one came out, we were going to buy one each. It was the extra one for the studio that was the issue. So when it got to Christmas and the iMac Pros came out, smelling salts, stat. We specced one up and it was about 12,500-13,000 on its own. And I said to Mike, utterly ridiculous, because you could buy 3 standard iMacs fully specced out for that. So buying one, no matter how much more powerful that one was, just seemed ridiculous. So we took the decision not to buy anything at that point. The third one for the studio, Christmas 2017, we didn't buy. We took the decision that, you know, the iMac Pro, no, not for us. We'd wait for the next revision of the iMac, the standard iMac, and see how it went. So at that stage, we'd kind of saved about $3,500 by not buying the third one in the June. We'd then saved about $13,000 by not buying the one at Christmas. And we just waited patiently for the next one. When the next one came out, it was just kind of an iterative update. And what we done in the meanwhile, because obviously at this stage we had no Retina iMac in the studio to record anything with, we'd put in place, oh Kim, you'd like this, hacky workaround alert. We'd be in the studio recording the audio. We would record the screen of an iMac in the office, and we would tunnel through with remote desktop to control it. So the audio was being recorded in the studio, the screen was being recorded in the office, and we saved the price of that iMac. So at that stage, we hadn't spent $3,500 and we hadn't spent $13,000 either. I'd like to say we were, you know, $16,500 up at that point, which would make buying half a dozen of these much less painful. I do, Kim, and I know you love my dirty hacks. So that at that point, it was like, we'll wait till the next iteration. But at this stage, Apple start getting weird, don't they? You used to be able to set the clock by their release schedules, and now you can't. In terms of both when they will appear and the kind of technology or the updates that you would get. So when I bought a Mac, it had my very first Mac had 1 gig of RAM, and I upgraded it to 3. And when I got my second one, I think that shipped with 2, and I doubled it to 4. And every time I bought a Mac from 2006 to about 2012, the RAM doubled. So it went from 1 to 2 and 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, and finally I got my 32 gig. And then it didn't move for years and years. So about 7 years, it's like, oh, new iMac, fabulous, what's the RAM in it? Oh, 32. That's what I've got. I was hoping in about 2014, 2015, it'd be like 64, and then 128, and then 256. And it hadn't moved. So I'm like, that's really putting me off. There's no way to put any extra RAM in it if it can't take it. So the RAM is incredibly important. And we decided when the next one came out, it wasn't sufficiently different, so we left it alone. Which takes us to today. This one's got some weird stuff on it. Nanotexture glass. I'm going to have to look that one up. I think, according to what Mike said when he had a look at it, it's to do with reflection. So let's have a look. Nanotexture glass. Let's have a look. Oh, right. In that case, I've seen one headline. It's like, don't bother. The nano texture glass is on the Pro Display XDR. So the first thing when I put in nano texture glass that comes up is an article from The Verge. When the hugely expensive display was released in December 2019, and it says Apple's most expensive Pro Display XDR requires a special Apple-made cloth to clean it. Right, so we won't be having that then. I mean, can you imagine the price of a cleaning cloth? Let's have a look. I know it'll come with it, but then you're limited to one cloth. Apple's provided specific instructions on how to clean and polish the display. This is starting to sound very expensive, isn't it? Then you need to clean the polishing cloth. You need to hand wash it with dish soap and water and rinse it out and then let it air dry for at least 24 hours. Really? Words fail me. Anyway, that is available on today's iMac, but you will pay £500 extra. £500 and however much Apple decide to charge for the cloth. Would you pay that, Paul, for the XDR display? You know, add £1,000 to it? And would you put that on the iMac? Because my answer is no. No way is that going on. The next thing was the processor. I mean, when Mike said to me, I think it's to do with reflection, I said it'd be cheaper to build a new room to put it in. He pulls with me. No, that's utterly ridiculous. You know, I've seen things before with, okay, smaller devices, things like watches years ago that had like an anti-scratch coating. But the difference was like £25. 500. No, not happening. Plus the fact I've got two drawers of cleaning fluid that clearly wouldn't be appropriate for it. So that's definitely not happening. They do, Simon, and I don't think it is the exchange rate. I mean, I know we have to pay VAT. So every price that I quote is going to include 20% sales tax for the UK. But all bets are off if you win the lottery. Do you know, I still don't think I would, even if I had. I just think that's ridiculous. I mean, you could build at least a brick wall. I mean, I actually said to Mike, if the reflection bothers you, buy some new curtains, because you could get a heck of a set of curtains for £500. You could probably get George Clooney to come round and install the curtains for £500. So, no, I discounted that. So I did two prices here. I did the full spec it up and you know, cry. Did that one. And then I did the more reasonable, yeah, that's what I probably have. So I took off the 500. We're not doing that. The processor I did spec up. So that I took from a 3.88 core to a 3.610 core. And that put an extra 400 on it. The memory I left alone at 8 gig. But just to give you an idea, when I was explaining about buying RAM and, you know, you're looking at £1,000. Which is horrific. And I totally agree with you. It's horrific. You know, there's no way that it costs that much to make, I can assure you. But when you look at what Apple are charging for the memory, it's criminal. Criminal. To double it would cost you £200. So you're paying £200 for an extra 8 gig of RAM. 32 gig will cost you another £600. 64 gig will cost you another £1,000. Now, for that £1,000, you could get 128 from Mr. Memory. But the 128 from Apple will cost you an extra £2,600, which is beyond criminal. That's like highway robbery, to be honest. That's Dick Turpin territory, that is. Then you've got the graphics card. There are two options for it with 8 gig. But there's also a 16 gig option, and that does affect the speed of the machine. So I added that on as well. Storage wise, I would really have liked 2 terabyte SSD. But as I'm sitting here, and Mike was in the other room working away, and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to get away with 512. No way. So a minimum of 1 terabyte was going to be needed, which added another £200 to it, which, again, criminal. I can get a 1 terabyte SSD for £70, but you have to add 200 because you can't change it yourself. This is why a Hackintosh is looking nice. But to double the size of that to a 2 terabyte, you've got to add another £400. So I thought, can you get away with 1 terabyte? And I thought, yeah. And then I thought to myself, yeah, but 2 would be nicer. And then I literally said to myself, yeah, but it'll be dead in 3 years, so don't bother. Just hang others off the back. But an 8 terabyte, if you wanted an 8 terabyte SSD, is going to cost you another £2,200. Then there's Ethernet. Now, Jonathan does have amazing Ethernet, internet connection. So he might benefit from the 10 gigabyte Ethernet thing. I think I've got gigabyte Ethernet. I'd have to have a check, but it's not slow. So I thought, you know, keep the 100, put it towards the Apple Silicon one when that comes out. It's unfortunate that you can't say, don't bother with the keyboard, it's garbage, and don't bother with a mouse, it's about as bad. But unfortunately, you can't. So you're paying probably about £130 for the keyboard and about £100 for the mouse, added in as well. So my specking up got it to £3,399. The other specking up, as you saw in Slack, what was the price in Slack? 8,890, I think, something like that. Nearly 9,000. Call it 9,000 and call it right. What did everybody else spec theirs up to? Hello, Anthony. And I do agree with you about Tim. Tim is great at making money by gouging. But Steve Jobs, it was about the experience. And, you know, this iMac that they brought out, if you don't have a computer, fabulous. But if you do, and it's an iMac, and you're looking to upgrade, you know, you'd be upgrading because the one you've got is creaking at the seams rather than it being a wow. And I just remember from 2006 to about 2014, it was a wow. And now it doesn't feel like a wow. Stuart, you are absolutely right. Apple do put everything together with pixie dust and unicorn hair. It doesn't come cheap. No, those unicorns take a lot of looking after. 10 gig Ethernet will only help on your local network. I don't think there are any ISPs that offer anywhere near that. Jonathan got some kind of upgrade. It was a huge upgrade. But that's really internal. But what Jonathan had to do to get the best out of his internet connection was upgrade his internal cabling and switches. So I think he might already have internal switches that would benefit from the 10 gig. So it might work for him. Having said that, it would probably mainly be the connection between his computer and his NAS rather than other equipment. In the house here, it would be all of the other equipment. But I don't know. We'll find out, won't we? So let me know what you spec'd yours up to. Mike briefly appeared and then briefly disappeared because Lola knew. And she is on the prowl after him after her walk was curtailed. She's not a happy dog. So she's now dragged him out into the rain. Oh, he's only got himself to blame. What can I say? He's only got himself to blame. But he will be with us very, very soon. Genuine innovations, custom terrace batteries and radically to maximise capacity and battery seem to be a thing on the ground now. They do seem to put a lot more effort into the laptops. I've been saying for years that there should be, should do something with the keyboard, something really amazing with the keyboard, and like the login Touch ID stuff and all of that. And they really haven't. I mean, they did toy with the butterfly things, didn't they? And that didn't do well. That spec that I put in there, Kim, was if money was no object and money grew on trees. I did put the nano glass on it. I think I put everything on it to get it to that. But obviously, I wouldn't be paying, you know, I can knock off $2,600 for a start because I'm not paying for the RAM like that. And I would settle for a 1 terabyte SSD. 2 would be better. But I won't pay another $400 for it because I've had... I'm trying to think now. How many have I had? Right. There was the one that went back. There was the one that's in there and the one that's over there. I think I've had the hard drive break in 5 iMacs. So that's literally what I said to myself as I'm looking at the 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte. I actually said out loud, it'll be dead in 3 years, so don't bother. Because, you know, whatever I pay for it now, it would last 3 years because I would get AppleCare with it. Oh, which is another 200, by the way. So whatever prices you saw, it would go over 9,000 because you need £200 for your AppleCare. Those unicorns don't look after themselves, Stuart. That's a, we think of that as unicorn money. AppleCare is weird. You buy it and you know that you don't need to buy it in the UK because our consumer protection law will protect you. So why do I buy it? I haven't got time to argue with them. They argue enough when you've got AppleCare. When you haven't, it's a living nightmare. I've actually had arguments over stuff with Apple that, you know, I can quote you the law if you like. That very expensive education came in very handy to argue in the Apple Store. But I don't think you should have to argue in the Apple Store. But they literally, I think this came out in The Guardian, an article in The Guardian about 6 years ago. And our consumer protection law is that depending on the price, so there is a sliding scale of price. You know, if you're going to the pound shop, which is the equivalent of like, I think it's Dollar Bin in the States. It Dollar Bin, Dollar Bucket, something like that. You can't expect something you buy there to last 6 years. But if you're spending £4,000 on an iMac, you can jolly well expect it to last 4 years, whether you've got Apple Care on it, 6 years, sorry, whether you've got Apple Care on it or not. But you actually, if you say you're 2 years into owning it, you don't have Apple Care, then you're going to have to get on the phone and you're going to have to talk to them. And they will say no, 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 until you quote the relevant paragraph out of the statute at them. How many average people can do that? But the second you do, there is a line. And I think somebody put it on a blog site and said, just use this line. The line is something like, I'm making a claim under the Sale of Goods Consumer Protection Act 1980, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Will you honour that? And at that point, they have that written down in front of them as like, if the customer says that, just repair it. But you do need to know the magical incantation, which I think is criminal. That should be turned round. So the presumption is, if it's less than 6 years old, they need to repair it. But that's not the law. So you do need to know what this line is, which is something like that. I've got it written down somewhere. Another thing is, irrespective of whether the company in question manufactured the product or not. Now, obviously, Apple do manufacture iMacs, but they don't manufacture everything they sell in the Apple Store. So I've mentioned this before, but it is relevant in terms of this AppleCare business. I bought an ITV device, which is a USB TV stick, and I had one on every Mac, but they would blow as soon as look at them. They just would stop, totally stop working. So we'd bought one, and I think it died within like 4 or 5 months. So I said, well, I'm taking it back. You know, I've got the box, we'll take it back. But I think we had Mayor with us at the time, and I wouldn't leave him in the car. So I said, I'll look after the dog, you go in. So Mike goes in to just get this thing swapped. And the reason that we would do that, one, it was less than 12 months. Price-wise, I think the thing was about 80 pounds, something like that. I might have got it on sale at 60, but somewhere between 60 and 80 pounds. They didn't manufacture it, Elgato did. But the consumer protection law protects you and you can claim against the shop you bought it from. So you can take it back and you can demand either a refund or an exchange. In fact, I don't think you could demand an exchange, but you can demand a refund. And a lot of businesses don't want to give you a refund. They want to insist that you would take an exchange. Now, in this case, I was quite happy to take an exchange. Apple refused point blank to do anything about it and said it was nothing to do with them and you'd have to get in touch with the manufacturer. So obviously this was Mike. So he comes out the shop and he's still in the Trafford Centre and he rings me and says they won't do anything about it. And I thought, oh, yes, you need, you know, do you need me to come in and start arguing with this? So I said, just a minute. So I got it up in Evernote and I said, right, quote this. I said, and tell them stop messing about or I'll have to come in. Well, they did actually know me because I went in every week at that point. They used to do like demonstration things on a Friday and I would be in every week. So they knew me. And if I went in, I would be sorting it out. So he goes back in and he quotes this thing. And they said, right, fine. And they gave him a new one, which, again, I find absolutely disgusting. They know the law, but they're banking on the fact that you don't. And that is disgusting. Apple should not behave like that. So when I've rung them up, I have actually always been in AppleCare. I've never tried getting a repair out of 3 years. But when I have rung up, first thing's usually not too bad. You know, you can take it into a local store. That's not happening. Been there, done that. And plus the fact I'm not carting a 27-inch iMac. I did actually once take my 27-inch iMac in for repair. To say it did not end well is an understatement. And I don't mean in terms of the repair. This was... I'm going to check my blog, see when exactly this was. Let's see if I can find it by that. It's going to need to go back a bit. I'm trying to remember. It must have been pre-2013. I'm trying to think, was Dad here or not? But it was at the Trafford Centre. So I booked it in for a repair. Let me try it looking up something else on my blog. I can't remember what I called this blog post because there was more than one of them. Oh, I know what I called it. Hang on. Now it's not doing a search. Now it's getting its knickers in a knot. Crying out loud. Where have you disappeared to? Good grief. Nope, the entire page has frozen up. Let's try that again. But it was a funny story. So, I heads off, booked it in, heads off. And I was heading to the Trafford Centre for 10 o'clock. Now, the Trafford Centre opens... I think it is 10 o'clock and I think the car park's open at 9:30. So it's a huge area. What was I going to look up then? I know. It was an AppleCare repair. So as I say, I'd already booked it in and stuff. 2009. Was it really that long ago? Oh, it was a white one. It was. And I don't think it was a 27-inch iMac. I think it was a 24-inch iMac. So I'd booked it all in. I'd got my... slot and I was heading off for 10 o'clock to get in there. The problem with it was it had an intermittent fault. Now, having an intermittent fault is never good. It's much better if the things exploded like Mike did, because then they don't argue. But an intermittent fault, they swear blind, they can't see the fault. But that was the fault, and of course you could see it. It was there and it was repeatable and I could force it to happen. So I get it all ready for repair, which means at that stage I've only got one Mac. Back in the day, 2009, he only had one Mac. So my mum said, you're not taking that in for repair unless you've bought another one. She said, because there'll be a calamity. You know, it's the one Mac and you need it for work and there'll be a calamity. So I bought another iMac before I took this one in, because that iMac was 3 years old by then. So I set it all up and everything. And that means I can afford to take this iMac in for repair and it have no issues at all. If they need to keep it for longer, it'll be fine. So I needed to prepare it all and put the old RAM back in, like Paul said, and everything else. If you can hear a funny noise, they're drilling next door. They never stop drilling next door, but that's a whole different story. So I took the RAM out. I got it all set up. I took all of the passwords off it. Oh, you name it. It was done. And the day came. Now, we're only 2 miles from the Trafford Centre. So I set off 30 minutes before the appointment, thinking what could possibly go wrong. Yes, you know something went wrong, don't you? Benefit of hindsight, rhetorical question. There was a huge queue to get in the Trafford Centre. So I'd come off the motorway and I'd actually got into... It's quite weird, the Trafford Centre. It virtually has a motorway junction of its own. So it's quite a long, probably about 3/4 of a mile road, where you're in the car park, you're in their grounds, but you're not actually anywhere near the Trafford Centre at that point. You can see it in the distance. So I'm stuck in this traffic thinking, are they giving gold bars away? You know, I've never seen it like that. Not even at Christmas had I seen it that bad. So I'm thinking, this isn't right. This is weird. And I'm looking and it just wasn't right. No one was parking. So none of the car parks were actually open. We were all queued up in this traffic and we couldn't move anywhere. Mike's here. Say hello.
Hello.
They're drilling.
I can hear you.
Pull that down. I've explained that. Hopefully it's not too bad. So
I can hear it in there.
It only started about 20 minutes ago.
I can hear it in there just now.
Oh, yeah. I think it's that loud. They're idiots. What can I say? You forgot about Apple Care. Oh, you definitely need the Apple Care, trust me. So I'm in this queue, no one's parking, and I'm thinking there's definitely something going on. So I managed to turn the radio on and I'm flitting from channel to channel. I'm thinking, what's going on? And at this stage, the force helicopter appeared, Greater Manchester's police helicopter. And I'm thinking, I don't like this, it doesn't feel right. And the only other time I felt like that was the Manchester bomb. And I was right, wasn't I? We got out just in time. So I thought, I'm going. So I managed to do a bit of a U-ey, a U-turn. And I managed to get, obviously I had an appointment, so
that's
I couldn't.
That's a good Manc Express.
A U-ey. A U-ey. But I thought, I can't go home because I'm going to lose this slot to have this repair done. So I did this rather dubious manoeuvre, went up the other way, back way, ended up opposite the Trafford Centre in a supermarket that we have there called Asda. So I pulls up and I thought, at least at this stage, I could at a pinch carry this iMac across the road if I needed to. So I'm opposite, if you know the place, I'm opposite Selfridges at that point. So probably about, would have been a walk of maybe sort of 500-600 yards, not that bad. So I'm fiddling with the radio and at this stage I realise what the problem is. Never let me out is the answer, isn't it, Mike? Mm. There'd been an armed robbery. Not a problem, you'd think, given it was in Leeds. Leeds being 70 miles away. But they'd escaped onto the motorway, heading towards Manchester. And the force helicopter was up because they were trying to chase them. And they were still armed. I think there were three with shotguns. By this stage, they were evacuating the Trafford Centre and people were pouring out of the front of Selfridges, coming across the road, heading towards Asda. And my face at this stage, I couldn't move. It was gridlock. There was nowhere. I couldn't drive anywhere. And they were all evacuating that way because these robbers by this stage were literally 5 minutes away from the Trafford Centre and they were armed. And all these people were legging it across and I'm thinking, I can't leave the car because I've got this iMac in it and I can't run with an iMac. So I'm sitting there and I've got eyes on stalks thinking, what do I do? And I thought, oh, never mind the appointment. I'm going to try and get home. And I actually thought if I could get out via Costco at the back, I might escape. So
planning your getaway, right?
I was planning my getaway. By this stage, I'm like, I thought I'd best ring Mum, let her know, you know, just in case. I might better have to say goodbye, just in case. So I puts the keys in the ignition, turns the car over. Dead. As a dodo. It was fine on the way down. I'd literally just turned the engine off, came to turn the engine on, wasn't having it. And I'm just like, you're kidding me. So I thought maybe it's the battery, maybe it's the rotor up, maybe it's, so I've got the bonnet up. There I am trying everything that I know and I'm thinking, no, everything's fine. Goes back in, tries it again, dead. So I'm sat there with my head in my hands, this iMac in the back, the force helicopter buzzing, people streaming past me in their hundreds, thinking, there's only going to be me left sat here in the end. And if they arrive with their shotguns, and they dumped the car and they, I could just imagine them running over and getting in and saying drive and me saying, sorry, the car won't move. It was a nightmare. So I thought, I'm going to have to leave the iMac. At which point, now by this stage, I've probably been sat there for about 20 minutes. I kind of glances up, looking to heaven for inspiration, and I sees a sign. It's a car park sign inside Asda. And it said, parking strictly limited, 1 hour. And I thought, oh, you're kidding me. You're absolutely kidding me. So I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I thought, no. I know what I'll do. And Asda had opened up for everybody. They were already open. They opened 24 hours. But they were telling people to just go into Asda and they'd lock the doors, you know, if things got bad. And I'm thinking, yes, but I've got my iMac in the car and now the car won't move. So I rang Asda and I explained. I said, I'm sat outside in your car park. And she said, come in. You know, never mind that comment. So I said, no, I can't come in because I've got an iMac in the car. I said, it's a long story. I said, but I just wanted you to know, I would move if I could, but the car's broken down and I can't move. I said, and it says, you know, 1 hour parking. So she said, never mind that. So I said, well, let me give you my number, you know, my registration number. I said, just don't ticket me because I can't move. She was fabulous. She said, well, come in if you like, leave the car where it is, don't worry about it. Bring in your computer with you if you want. She said, and if you want to stay in the car with it, she said, do lock the doors, but do you need any water or anything? Because we can bring it out to you. She was amazing. So I said, no. I said, I'm about to ring the RAC. Now, the RAC is a car recovery service that we have. So if you've broken down, you would ring probably Green Flag, the AA, yeah, or the RAC. So there I am. I'm ringing the RAC. So I'm talking to this woman and I'm explaining the situation. So I said, I've broken down. I said, are you in a safe place? I said, yes. She said, are there a lot of people around? And I looked at these 5,000 pouring out the Trafford Centre and I said, there is at the moment. So I'm literally answering her questions. I thought, I'll fill her in on the horrific details shortly. So she's asking me all these questions, you know, and then she got onto like the car. So I said, right. So she said, I'll have him with you shortly. I said, just a minute. I said, right, at that stage. She said, is that all your questions? She said, yes. So I said, don't put me as a priority, you know, because I'm a woman on my own. I said, because that's fine. Not a problem. I said, but I do need to tell you that he might have trouble getting here. So she said, I've got you exactly where you are, because obviously I described and said I'm in Asda's car park opposite the Trafford Centre, and if he comes up to such and such a road and he goes down here, then he'll see Selfridges, and I'm opposite in the red car with my iMac. So she said, it's all right, he'll know exactly where you are. And I said, yes, I know. I said, but he might not be able to get here because it's a bit busy. And she said, I can see from my system, she said, that, you know, there's a lot of traffic. I said, yeah, that's only the tip of the iceberg. So I said to her, right, there's gridlock. I said, because there's been an armed robbery in Leeds. She said, Leeds is miles from you. I said, wait for it. I said, they escaped. I said, and they're currently on the M62 heading for the M60. And they've blocked. We knew that the Trafford Centre was where they were heading because they blocked the motorway. Why they didn't block the motorway on like Hart's Head Moor is beyond me. But they'd blocked the motorway so they couldn't get further than the Trafford Centre. And the idea was they were going to kettle them in the Trafford Centre car park. You couldn't make this up. This is like 2 metres from where I'm sat. And she's like, really? So she, just a minute. So she gets the news site up and she's like, oh my God, you're right. So she said, you literally can't move the car. She said, could you not push it somewhere? I said, no, it's a bit of a big car. So she said, I'm going to send him over anyway, she said, but I will tell him, you know, to be careful. So she said, but don't worry, we'll get to you. So puts the phone down. I thought, I better ring my mother, because if mum hears about this. So rings mum again, gets her up to speed. She was, leave the iMac, run, leave the iMac. I'm not leaving my iMac, it's my baby. So literally within 20 minutes, I don't know how he did it, this RAC van appears. But he's on the road. And to get to the car park, he'd have to go like probably about half a mile further on and then up this side road and then into the car park. And of course, by this stage, total gridlock. It couldn't get past because people had abandoned their cars. He does no more than drives across the grass. You know, the grass outside Asda. Drives across the grass, pulls up and says, are you the lady with the broken down car and the iMac? I said, that's me.
And the armed robbery.
So he said, have you seen him yet? I said, no, not yet. He said, let's get you moving. Anyway, he couldn't get it started either. But what he managed to do, it was the electrics. You know what the electrics are like in my car? Steam powered. So they literally just fried themselves. So he did manage to get me attached to the back of his van. But then, of course, he was towing the car. And I'm like, and then there's my iMac. And literally, I look like the log lady. If you've ever seen Twin Peaks, that was me with my iMac. He said, that's fine, we'll put it in the van. He said, but you get in the van with me. And I said, well, shouldn't I be steering because of the steering lock? Never mind that. He said, just get in the van with me. So I ended up in the van. The iMac was in the back of the van in a blanket wrapped up. Now, bearing in mind, it was in its box at the time. Wrapped in a blanket, and it was like an ambulance. We got it attached to the side of the van. And then he burnt rubber to get me to... now, we couldn't go to my garage because they don't do electrics. So we ended up somewhere behind Schlumberger.
Yeah.
In Stretford, which was probably just about far enough away. So we pulled up and he's got the radio on and we finally heard they'd caught them in the car park of the Trafford Centre. He saved the day. He got me out of it. So like Kim says, no wonder I don't want to leave the house. No good ever comes of me leaving the house. Just saying. It doesn't. I don't think my mother needed Valium for a week. Because by this stage, she's then ringing me and saying, they've caught them. Are you all right? I said, yes, I'm fine. She said, where are you? I said, I don't know. Somewhere near Stretford, but I'm not quite sure. So they had to kind of fix the car there and then, because obviously by this stage, the whole of Manchester was gridlocked. So 2009, it felt nearer. I thought that was about 2013. Just as well, it wasn't really. But then I remembered it was the white iMac. That was only the start of the trouble with the white iMac. I then had to ring the Apple store and say, I can't come in for this appointment. So obviously, so I'm winding back a bit now to before 10 o'clock. So I ring them and say, I'm not going to make this appointment. And he gets really snotty with me. And I thought, how rude. And he said, plus the fact we're not really open yet. This is like 9:45. And I said, well, I don't know if you're aware. I said, but the Trafford Centre's been evacuated. There's these armed robbers on there, and they hadn't heard. So I said, I'll make it in when I can make it in, but it isn't going to be at 10 o'clock today, I can assure you. And they got snotty with me. I mean, that's unreasonable.
Yeah, we don't like Team Trafford.
Though, we don't like Team Trafford at all. We don't. I think in the end I did get it sorted, but the full sad sorry tale is actually on my blog, but I thought it was a lot nearer than that. But the full story's at that link. And then I did a follow-up because I had another calamity after that with them. When it was repaired and I went to go and pick it up, it wasn't fixed. Simple as that. It wasn't fixed. So I then had to take it back in. Luckily, no armed robbers that day. But no, I'm not leaving the house ever. Can you now see why I'm quite happy in lockdown? Because if something happens to the iMac, they're going to have to go and pick it up, aren't they, Mike?
Mm.
Anyway, what's Paul having? Paul would go for the middle 27-inch with 16 gig of RAM and a 1 terabyte SSD. That sounds like a good model, Paul. If I was going for it, it would be the one on the right, the full thing. But I wouldn't go for more RAM. I would put that in myself. It's just far cheaper that way. So Anthony would have 16 gig of RAM, 1 terabyte, and a 3.6 i9, same as you've got now. I'm not actually sure what mine's got now, but I know it's 3 years old. So if I had a newer one, you're looking at it being 3 years younger, double the RAM minimum, possibly quadruple the RAM. And the processor is a 4.7,
isn't it?
A 4.2 Core i7. I notice on the when you go to your about page, it says iMac Retina 5K, 27-inch, 2017. Now, it used to say like early, mid or late. So you could kind of, they probably only made one in 2017, but it was mid. And the graphics card's got 8 gig of RAM. So obviously I'd be going for double the graphics card, a better processor, a minimum of double the RAM and 3 years younger. So I think it might happen, but I'm going to wait to see what the situation is with the RAM before I make any very hairy, scary decisions about that kind of money. Will I do another video of the RAM install if you get a new one? I will, Kim. The RAM install's always fabulous.
That was Kitchenalia at the ready.
Yeah, that's the one that I put on Facebook. I didn't do a video last time, but I did take a couple of pictures, I think. Let's have a look, see if I can find. In fact, I did a whole range of pictures and Nina was incredulous. She said, what have you got a kitchen spatula for? Look at Milo's face.
I've seen that.
Right, I'm going to me, aren't I? And then I go back through the photos to get to it. That's the idea. In fact, I think about the finished product. So if I can see the... Nope, that's you. Go to the favourites. I can never find a thing on Facebook. Mind you, at least, you know, I know that they are on Facebook, so it's just a matter of finding them. Keep going backwards. Was it before or after that? I think it was before. I think it was before that. There we go. There we go, Mr. Memory. Are these in an order that you can follow them through? Right, I'm going to send you this picture, which is the desk. So it's on Facebook, but you should be able to see it. This must have been... This was all of the stuff that arrived to get the iMac set up. And if you look in the top right-hand corner, you'll see the Anne Summers bag that Rachel gave me. Remember, with the stressicles in it. I must have thought I needed the stressicles. But if you work backwards from there, you'll see all the RAM stuff. The RAM in the bag, you'll see the iMac. But yeah, I will do a video this time. So should it ever arrive, I'll do a video. Look at the back of the iMac. Isn't it neat and tidy? And you've seen it now. It now has a shelf on it with a 10-port USB hub and two hard drives hanging off it. Oh, no, there's a shelf there. If you carry on, there's a shelf with one drive on it. Yeah, that soon changed. Yeah, keep going backwards. That was my first 1 terabyte SSD. And it was a Crucial one. I don't buy Crucial anymore. They don't work. My iMacs do not like Crucial. The drives are fine. The iMac ejects them willy-nilly, as they say. Your Apple Store told you to install the RAM yourself. It'd be cheaper. Guess it depends on the model of MacBook Pro. I've done a MacBook Pro, 2009 MacBook Pro, and it's a doddle in that one. I've changed the hard drive 3 times as well. First went to a small SSD, and then as the price came down, I went up to a bigger SSD on it, and that was absolutely fine. But now, of course, they're all hermetically sealed units, which is why Apple, as Stuart pointed out, can charge anything they like to feed their unicorns. And it is, it's criminal. I really don't know. You know that was it the Senate or the whichever it was that was interrogating them the other week? Why don't they haul them up on the price of RAM and hard drives? Because there isn't a hard drive or a stick of RAM on the planet that costs what they're charging. And they're all built to order anyway, so what difference does it make? It is, it's criminal. But nobody seems to be challenging them on that. I'm surprised the EU haven't, not that that'd affect us anymore. But it'd be grand if it did. If somebody just pointed out it's obscene and not acceptable. If you remember that podcast thing we went to? There was a guy and he did an interview podcast and he was doing a talk on how to do great interviews. And he was asking everybody sat around the room, what kind of podcast do you do? So I felt quite like, oh, you won't understand. But it turned out he did. He'd worked on Apple stuff a few years before. So I said, it's kind of an Apple podcast with added humour and stuff. Anyway, he said, so as he was doing his examples, he said, so, you know, what's the first question you would ask Tim Cook? And I'm like, sit down while I go through the list. But I think the one at the top would be, upon what basis can you justify the price for extra RAM? Don't you think that'd be a good question?
Yeah.
None of this sugar-coating malarkey, you know, just get him there and just say, look, I've only got one question, this is it. And I don't want one of you waffly, I'm saving the planet, we've got no arsenic in the glass answers anymore. I wonder if there's a product that he would have that, you know, like something special in a car, and it was the base price of it times 5,000 if he'd pay for it. I know he's got more money than God, but that's not the point. A 2010 MacBook Pro. That was probably the zenith of MacBook Pros. Did you upgrade the RAM in your 2010 MacBook? 2009? The 17-inch MacBook Pro you had?
No idea.
Because back then you would have been able to upgrade the RAM and the hard drive.
Might well have done.
Why don't you tell them about your webinar anyway? I told them where you were. dashboarding.
Hmm. What about it?
Was it good? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did they enjoy it?
They did. They asked lots of questions.
Oh, did they ask the same questions as the MacBiters in After Hours?
No.
Oh. Oh.
No, they asked different questions.
Have you done this dashboardy thing
yes.
in After Hours?
No, not in After Hours, no.
Oh, oh. Potential future content there.
Could
just
be.
Yes, if you want to see a dashboard. Oh, I do hark back to those laptops. Because I don't think a laptop needs to be as thin as it is now. They're just at the point where the other day I had to test a hard drive. And I had the hard drive in my hand and it had a cable sticking out the back that was USB. And I looked and I thought, oh, I'm not bothering with the new laptop. And I got out my 2012 MacBook Air because it doesn't need a dongle to test it. Why did I buy that 2018? Oh, I know why I bought it. I bought it because the, you know, the 2012 was getting a bit on the slow side. And I thought, I can't wait for the next revision because if I do, this is going to break and then I'm going to have no laptop. Because that's the laptop we have between us, isn't it?
Mm.
That was why I bought it. But it's come back to me now. But I still don't like the dongles on it. I would still like that one. Laptop bend gate will be in the future. Oh, yeah. There'll be like a sliver of paper. I really don't like what they do with the laptops. I actually like that one that we gave to your mum. The Asus with all the ports on.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it is portable, if you don't mind how heavy it is.
It is heavy, that one.
It is, but it's got everything on it. It had a DVD rewriter. It had every port known to mankind. It had a card reader on it, the lot. There was nothing. None of which she's using, but that's not the point. If she did, we wouldn't have to go around with a dongle, would we? We could just say it's already there.
True.
Just imagine giving her a MacBook Air. I need to plug the headphones. You'll need a dongle. You'll need a dongle. I actually picked up the dongle that I've got the other day. It lives in a drawer next to me. Here it is. I picked it up and I thought, right, need network connectivity. So this dongle is probably about £30 worth of dongle. You know, it wasn't an Apple one. And it's got pass-through power on it. It's got HDMI. It's got three USB standard slots, one with power. It's got a mini card reader and an SD card reader. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, where's the network? Oh, and there isn't a network port on it. So I'm thinking, I wonder if that pass-through power could take a dongle. Now, I'm sorry, but you've jumped the shark when your dongles need dongles. So I think I've got one, because I think I lent you one for work. They gave you a... Didn't they... I know you've got an Apple now, but didn't they lend you one? And it couldn't connect to the network?
Yeah.
It didn't like the Wi-Fi, and there was no dongle. So I had to give Mike one of the dongles. It's a good job I've got that magic thing on the back of the door, isn't it?
It is.
Which I think has... about 30 slots. No, not 30.
I did that Mac training the other day, and I was going to get the dongle out. But in the end, because I need to plug in the USB headset, I need to plug in the external monitor, I need to plug in the mouse, because I don't like using the trackpad.
The trackpad's weird. Because if you push on it, you've got that push thing that if you don't use it all the time, if you're used to a Windows one, it does totally different stuff.
What I did in the end was I ran the course on the Mac and shared the screen from Teams, but I signed into the same Teams meeting, a bit like I explained on MacBites last week, signed into the same Teams meeting on the laptop so I could do the audio on the laptop and that way I could... keep the headset plugged into the Windows laptop. So it was one USB slot less needed.
Do you know, I always remember many years ago, Jane.
But
Jane,
you shouldn't have to juggle USB slots.
Sure, no, because a USB one could take 128 devices. I mean, if I plugged in more than three on this Mac, it'd have a seizure.
Mm.
128, you must be joking. But do you remember years and years ago, Jane lived in Australia at the time, and she had the monitor, didn't she? Didn't she have the small cinema display? Beautiful. Anyway, we were talking one day, and she said, "You've got my dream job. You know, I would love to train people. Now you guys hear what really goes on in terms of dirty hack central here, isn't it? Trying to make something work. I spend more time working around limitations of hardware and software than I actually do doing the job. And it infuriates me. It infuriates me even more because it wasn't always that way. You know, originally you could pick up a laptop and it had what you needed. Like Anthony's saying, it does totally defeat the purpose when you've got to carry another bag with all the stuff in. And if you don't, it isn't a case of like, well, I can't burn a DVD. I think you would accept that these days. But stupid stuff like I can't plug a USB device in it without a dongle, that's ridiculous.
Paul, the answer is no. We tried it, didn't we?
We did. We did. And you can't...
We were trying it last week for something. Maybe with some horrendous VBA, but even with that, probably not. Is the answer, I'm afraid.
What were we trying it for?
We were trying it for the timings on the YouTube.
Right. Yeah. That's right. No, you couldn't.
Where you wanted to have more of a description.
I did manage to get it to generate... Now, it's not particularly what Paul's doing, but I did manage to get it to generate a clickable hyperlink on a concatenated string, which I didn't show you because you're in bed and I did it myself and I was rather proud of myself. And, of course, it wasn't
Excel. Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, it wasn't Excel either. It was Google Sheets. But it worked. You should have, you saw the result of my work.
I did.
I was batch processing marooned episodes. We were debating on marooned episodes, so I added a few and I did it as a batch. It would be fantastic if you could do that. I'm wondering if the limitation is getting into the cell. Because the hyperlink, does the hyperlink activate when you click on the cell or do you have to go into it?
No, it's when you click on it.
In which case, it's probably that's the limitation rather than... Because how would you access the link? How many times would you have to click to get... First of all, you'd need to get into the cell and then you'd need to click the link. So it would mean you'd have to triple click to edit it.
Can you do it?
Well, you assured me you couldn't.
There is no direct method to add hyperlink to just part of a cell. Here I will show you a tip to change the cell appearance for showing only part of a cell as hyperlink in Excel.
Is there a dirty hack workaround?
We'd have to try it.
You're not confident?
It involves changing the font colour.
Oh, that's just cheating. That's just cheating.
So, yeah.
Mind you, it might be worth trying and then you could demonstrate it. You could demonstrate that on Friday.
But we've built this add-in.
Hmm?
But we've built this add-in.
Not Jonathan, is it? I don't think so. Oh dear, oh dear.
No, there's a website called extendoffice.com. And what they do is they show you a dirty hack. And then they say, but we built this add-in.
Trouble is when you start playing around with those add-ins that you were playing around with, you know, you build a solution yourself that relies on their add-in and then their add-in disappears.
Yeah.
I had a problem today. I have no idea how this happened. This was not me. But I came to use an app today. It's in setup. It's called Downy. And I wanted to download this video. And I used Downy to download my own stuff as well. It's just faster than the YouTube way. To download one of my own videos from YouTube, I can go into the back end and do it. But it's more of a faff. I might as well just use Downy. So I came to use Downy and it didn't run. And I thought, what's wrong with that? So I tried the extension. That didn't work. I thought, what's going on here? It was working last night. So I went into the whole thing. It's there. It looks absolutely fine. It's just not running. When you actually click on it, it says this is damaged. You know, you need to reinstall. So I thought, well, that's fine. Ah, not working for Paul either. Well, I didn't update it, Paul, but I noticed that there was a timestamp on it of yesterday. So whether it did some kind of stealth update, I don't know. So I thought, well, that's not a problem. I'll you know, go get it and reinstall it. I've gone to the website, which I think is Charlie Munro. That would be great, Paul, because obviously via setup, I haven't seen it. That would be great. Thank you. I went to download it. Charlie Munro's site's there. So the actual homepage for Downey is there. When I click on the link, it 404s. So I'm like at a point of what is going on? I can't re-download it. I can't use it. What I did do was I thought, that's fine. I've got the system back up from the day before, so I will zip the thing and I will install the old one. And I did that. Still didn't work. Couldn't make this up. But if it's not working for everybody else, there should be a down detector, shouldn't there?
What's not working?
Downy. It's yours working. Will be. It's an old one. But if you click on that, you see the green button?
Yeah.
Right, click on that.
Yeah.
So you can't even re-download it. There is a huge download button on that site on the left-hand side. And you can't download it. So, not a happy bunny. In better news, I have a workaround. Kim never doubted it, did she? You never need one app to do the same job. You need three. You need the app that you would prefer that is now broken. Then you need your first reserve. And then you need a backup for the first reserve. So the one that I'm using is called Download Video, and it's part of the Parallels tools that I did a demo of a few weeks ago. It's not quite as integrated as Downy because there isn't an extension for it. But all I need to do is open Video Downloader. And of course, there was Audio Downloader as well. And you just paste the link in there. So it solved the problem in terms of I can actually get the job done. But that's so annoying. I mean, as setup, it's part of setup, isn't it? So you could say, well, you know, it's probably pennies for that. But I actually paid for Downy. So I've got a paid app that was working yesterday and is not working today. Looks like some kind of update of theirs. And I can't even re-download it, which is disgusting. Every instance I've had in terms of contacting Charlie, who is the guy behind Downy, has been great. So he's always come back and said, yes, we can do that, or no, we can't do that. One was something really, I guess, neither here nor there, but it did matter to me, was that you've got an extension for Firefox and the logo is like the Video Downloader logo, the Downy logo, and it's black. But I run a dark theme on Firefox and I can't see the button. The button's black and the top is very, very dark. And he's come back and said there's nothing he can do about that. It's the architecture of Firefox. And another time it, something wasn't downloading and we fixed that. So I would have said I'd always had very good support. But you can't just have a 404, mate. You've got to do something with it so we know what's going on. But thankfully, Paul sent something. So if I open up my mail and toddle off and have a look. Let's have a look.
A horrible, horrible hack.
How horrible is it? Is it really bad?
Create a text box.
Oh, put not it, that one.
Put it in the cell.
No.
Remove the border.
No.
Format it the same as the text.
No.
You'll have to make the text align to the right because otherwise the text goes underneath the text box in the cell. And then assign a hyperlink to the text box.
Thank you for that. You've got an alternative there, apparently, folks. Downy isn't working at the moment, and the app developer is facing temporary challenges with its apps. That's a bit weird, isn't it? That is very weird.
Well, Kim likes it.
Yes, but Mike, it's hideous.
Oh, it is hideous, yeah.
Do you know, if there's a need for it, why don't Microsoft just address it and be done?
I'm sure you could do it in Numbers.
Do you know, I don't know.
Or Google Sheets.
I don't know in Numbers. Numbers is fabulous for layout. We're contemplating a demo of that, aren't we, for that form that I did.
Numbers does not support linking to another cell.
No, it doesn't support internal links, but it does support external links. I did some regex stuff and we were looking at each other with like, why would we do that? I have no idea we wouldn't do that. Right, let me put
my... How can I add a hyperlink in a cell with other text and numbers?
Right. A hyperlink works, but if I were to put in... Let's have a look. If I were to put that followed by that, it works in numbers. That won't be any help to Paul either, but no. It does work in numbers. There you go. Can you click on the link though? Yep. It does work in numbers. Excel has got some catching up to do. As for sheets, I don't know. Do you use sheets? I love Google Sheets, I must admit. I moved to that from numbers. And I've done some incredible work in there. It seems to work the way my head works, which makes me a happy bunny. Right, let's try that one. Makes you wonder what would happen if it does work, like numbers. What happens if you export it? Right. Oh, hang on. Was that a yes? It works in sheets as well. So, just Excel then.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you can switch, can you? Only have Windows machines. Long call them to get a Mac just for this. Well, it works in sheets, Paul. I've put some text in and I followed that with a link, and the link automatically gets made blue and underneath. You can even, in sheets, get a preview of it. And you can copy the link without going into it. It's got like a little popover. Try it in sheets, Paul, and you'll see what I mean. You can remove the link, you can edit the link, you can copy the link, and you get like a visual preview when you hover over it. And you can put normal text in the cell. Depending on what the job is, it might actually be worth doing it in sheets. It would depend. They don't allow sheets as a government agency. Well, that explains a lot about government, doesn't it, Paul? In that case, you won't be doing what you need to do. That's shocking. I'm surprised that they haven't realised that all of the others do it.
Hmm.
That's going to challenge Mike now. He's going to be having a think about that, aren't you? There's got to be a better workaround than that. Although I did see a workaround that was very similar. Now, what were they trying to do? It involved a text box, like you're saying, and I thought, do the text boxes move? Can you put the text box inside a cell?
And then if you move, well...
Because I'm thinking, what happens if you move the cell?
You can set the properties of the text box. I think you can set it to...
Oh, it's so horrible, though, isn't it?
Move.
Oh, no, it's horrible. I don't like it. I mean, I don't mind workarounds, but really, that one. Not if you can't then extend the cell. Not if it's all got to be manually updated. Terrible. But, you know, some of these applications miss the basics.
Move or angle. Move and size with cells. You'd want that, wouldn't you?
You'd have to have that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you move the cells down, the text boxes would be floating in the... what do they call that layer? Not the annotation layer.
I just call it a...
It's like a float-over layer, yeah. That's over the top of your actual content.
I just call it float-over layer.
Do you remember that meeting, Owl? And when we talked about AI, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, Amazon are now recommending the meeting owl to me.
Oh.
So, you know, I said how scary it was, it would be, looking at the desk.
The owls are not what they see.
Yeah, now it's scaring me in Amazon instead. Lovely. Fabulous, that. So, has anybody else actually pushed the button on this iMac yet? Or are you pondering, or have you decided...
Or pulled the trigger.
Not for you. I'm thinking probably, but it's going to depend on the RAM. Only because I don't want to make a mistake. If Mr. Memory say it can only take 128, then I would believe them. But if they might come back and say, oh, you can double this, in which case, would be rude not to, I feel. More RAM I get in it at the beginning, the better. So that's what I'm waiting for now. An update from Mr. Memory. So probably they'll get theirs Friday, I would have thought. Might be early next week. Before we know about it, and it may be even longer before they get the RAM in, I don't know. So all a case, unfortunately, of still waiting. However, it's not that I've not got enough work to do this week, is it? Definitely not. We've got the DevonThink thing on Friday, which is all about maintenance, and I've got the newsletter thing a week on Thursday. That's going to be on top of us before we know it. Got your email, Paul. Got yours too, Kim. So I will add that to it. That was interesting, actually, Paul, coming from Ulysses. How were you exporting it? Did you use the export options that were there, or did you copy and paste? And another thing to think about is, let me see if I can find the right thing. It's in system preferences. Drives me mad on a regular basis. Now, where have you put it today, Apple? Is it under keyboard? Hang on, what we got on that one? Do you have, Paul, in your system preferences, keyboard configuration, on the, go into the keyboard configuration and on the text tab, which is the second one in, where you've got your replacements and what you're replacing it with, on the right hand side, it says correct spellings automatically, capitalize words and add full stops. Underneath that, there's an option for smart quotes and dashes. What have you got in there? I have that turned off because it puts weird characters in. If that's turned on, give it a test by turning it off and then repeating the export process. Obviously, at that stage, you'd have to put your quotes in again so they're straight quotes and not curly quotes. But just try that and see what it kicks out. It might not be a Ulysses thing. There are ways to fix it in Affinity Publisher, but if you don't want the problem to happen in the first place, then there's one less thing to fix. Just try that and let me know if that solves the problem for you. So keyboard preferences in system preferences, text tab, right hand side, lower three options, and it's a checkbox, use smart quotes and dashes. I turn that off. I don't like things being smart, because I can guarantee you, the minute they say we've added a smart feature, my first question is, and then where do we turn that off? And that was one of the ones that I turned off. You had problems with that, didn't you? Auto-correcting itself.
I think I did.
Yeah, it needs to go, that one. But give it a try, Paul. Let me know. Let me know how that goes. So, yes, it's not like I've not got a lot to do. And potentially. Mind you, if I ordered it today, delivery is the 18th. So it's 2 weeks for delivery anyway. So we're probably looking at the beginning of September. Which could work out nicely. Holiday! Holiday alert! Am I going anywhere? No! There might be an armed robbery. So no, definitely not leaving the premises. It's every time I go out. You should have seen Mike's face when I told him what was going on. You're not going out anymore, he said. I thought, I've already come to that conclusion myself, babe. You don't need to tell me! Well, we better go and get on with it, seeing as though I've not had dinner yet. And you only grabbed a snack. This is because I'm working weird hours. Like Debbie asked, are you really up at 10 to 5? Yes, I was up at 10 to 5.
So was I.
You were getting up though, I was going to bed. Yeah, I was just finishing off. Never mind. Anyway, we shall have more of a think about that. I will keep my eye on my RAM suppliers and see what they've got to say and hopefully have a decision soon. Soon. I'm thinking the decision's probably going to be yes, but it really does depend. I mean, if they come up with, oh, and it's special RAM and it's £6,000, then guess what? Not happening. We'll just have to see. All depends on the RAM now. Right, let's get rid of that so I can see that. Excellent. We will be back with you, same time, same place, tomorrow. I wonder what news from Apple tomorrow, now they've got that one out of the door. Or will they be facing a backlash? About the unicorn dust. Oh no, it was pixie dust, wasn't it? Pixie dust and unicorn. Wasn't it ground unicorn horn? I remember years ago it was unicorn horn, but never mind. Anyway, we will, as I say, we'll be back with you tomorrow. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you tomorrow. Stay safe, guys.